Welcome back to, yeah, that's a Pepper Thing. First up, we've got Harrison wrapping his Dr. Pepper in a tiny quilt so it feels at home. Oh, how tender. That's a Pepper Thing! And over to Becca, who's whispering affirmations to her can.
You're sweet. You're unique. You're the best thing I ever poured over ice.
She swears it makes it taste better. It's not a science thing, but it's a Pepper Thing! Why do they all do it? All for that sweet, delicious, truly one-of-a-kind taste of Dr. Pepper. It's a Pepper Thing!
It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on yet another big night of European football. Dundee United are in Alkmaar looking to complete a famous qualification success. Motherwell have named Stevie Hamill as their new manager, and Rangers add a new name to Giovanni Van Bronckhorst's coaching staff. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Tonight again, 2 hours to go, mole team in Europe away from home, and they were huge underdogs when the tie got announced, but they were so good in the first leg that they give themselves a fighting chance. I wonder if they've got enough in the tank after being beat at home against Livy at the weekend. Have they got enough to bounce back and get through? Here's hoping.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to tonight. They put themselves in a good position. I thought their performance at Tannadice was brilliant, Gordon. Also news of Motherwell announcing new manager, and we wish Stevie Hamill and Brian Kerr all the very best in their new venture. You know, he's a hero there. The fans will certainly give him as much time and as much backing. Lovely guys, so we wish them all the best, and looking forward to an exciting weekend of football. And this man next to me, standing here,
I was going to say, I wondered how long it would take you to mention. Have you deliberately worn a tangerine t-shirt?
Yes,
for your former
I
club
have.
In Europe tonight.
I'm going to give you a bit of knowledge about tangerine. The Dundee United changed in 1969. Do you know where they changed? The reason they changed to tangerine. They were over in America and they played as Dallas Tornado. And Dallas Tornado played in Tangerine and Dundee United.
I would have been so much better
if he could say Dallas Tornado.
I know. I couldn't remember if it was Dallas something
what,
else.
I'm delighted with that. If that's true,
1969 America.
Check that.
It was 3-2 apparently to Dundee United.
Right. What colour did they play in before?
They started in green and white and they changed to black and white.
Yeah, because of Dundee Hibs, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I'm delighted.
1923, I would say, yeah. If you want to check that as well.
How does he know this?
He's part-time philosopher, part-time historian.
Because he's came in the office and he's sat
nothing.
And complained for an hour to me about the heat. And that's it. So it's not as if he's been in there reading or researching.
It's all up there.
Do you know something?
It's all up there.
I'm looking through that window and I can see wee Chris is busy as end going
just to try and find the fault in something you've said.
It's a brilliant bit of knowledge.
69 changed to Tangerine Dallas Tornado.
01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Dundee United fans, you're all in Alkmaar, I think. We'll need to get producer Callum on. He's over there.
I'd love to hear from him.
How do you think he is?
We'll try. He's been there for a few days.
It might be our last ever show, so it would be good out with a bang. We'll try that. Motherwell fans, you've got a new manager, and it's a name you know well. It's Stevie Hamill. What do you make of that? There's obviously a lot to get through. He's a legend, as Gordon says. He's also never been a manager before, so there's a few things to balance out there. Let's get right stuck into that. Motherwell fans, are you happy? Are you torn? Would you have gone for someone else? You're backing the man, I'm sure. 01419511025. I feel like the coaching staffs are getting enhanced. Cherry Bowley, Rangers fans, maybe a name you had heard before, maybe not. Either way, he's been added as a first team coach for Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. I'm sure you've quickly been on Wikipedia or LinkedIn or whatever checking out his CV. So what do you make of that appointment there? And anything else you've got on your mind tonight, this is the place to share it. This is the time to share it. 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. But obviously, we do prefer to speak to you on the phones. That's before we even consider the fact that it's Thursday night, Gordon, and we've got fantastic fixtures just round the corner. But so much happening.
Yeah, obviously, all concentration for this, you know, Dundee United fans tonight. That's a massive game for them. Then for the other supporters looking forward to another exciting weekend, Gordon. Some good fixtures coming up as well. Stevie Hamill, new manager, going up to Pittodrie. It's got to be a difficult one after that disappointing result at home to St Johnstone last weekend. St Mirren desperate for a result, sitting down the bottom of the table. Played very well against Mullow, didn't get anything out of the game, lost last weekend. They need to start picking up points. And then obviously you've got Celtic down at Kilmarnock on Sunday, and Rangers at home to St Johnstone, so plenty to play for.
I'm hearing it was actually 2-2 against the Dallas Tornado.
I didn't see the score.
Nah, that's true.
Ill informed. So if that can be wrong, then
I didn't see the score.
All the rest seems to be bang on. 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Let's get stuck right in. Shall we start with a new manager? I always think that's quite an exciting topic, especially when it's in our top flight, and especially when it's Thursday the 11th of August. I'm not sure we've appointed many managers so early on in the new season, but we know why. We're all here discussing Graham Alexander's departure, and Motherwell have named former defender Stevie Hamill as the new boss. The 40-year-old, he made almost 600 appearances for the club as a player. Think about that for a second in the modern era, just how many that is. He will go full time into the dugout. He was of course in charge for the win against St Mirren and the defeat at home to St Johnstone. Chairman Jim McMahon said more than 70 applicants put themselves forward for the role, but Hamill, who was in position as the head of the academy at Fir Park, was their preferred choice. We'll get stuck into the nitty gritty of it. Gut reaction, first feeling on it.
A terrific lad, a great servant to Motherwell, but that goes out the window. Gordon, he's now the manager. He's got to take responsibility, him and Brian Kerr. It's a different role, of course it is. A lot of pressure on him now. Look, it's his first job in management. They could have went for someone with more experience. I thought they would have went down that road. The lad's been in the building that long. They know him inside out. They know his character. They must feel that he's ready for this position, this step. And it is one step at a time in the journey, but he's got to keep stepping. That's the only advice I'd give him in that. But I think that he'll certainly get the backing of the Motherwell fans, because he deserves that because of the service and what he gave to Motherwell as a player. But now he's a manager. The most important thing is a manager. You've got to get results.
Didn't he get a straight answer there, did he? About what you actually thought?
I said I was surprised at the appointment.
A surprise.
But I'm delighted for the two lads.
I'm not surprised, if I'm honest. Said at the weekend that I thought he was probably in the driving seat, because he was there working in the academy, and Alan Burrows had seen him pretty closely. They always thought that the interview process wasn't ever going to be for him. I think it may have helped his chances if he got a result at the weekend, but I didn't think it hinged on that. And you know, say you bring another young manager in, or an unknown, and you figure out 2 months down the line that you are clashing about things, you don't like the personality. Stevie Hamill always seemed to be the safe bet. I like when young managers get a chance, and I like when it's guys who have been great servants to the club, who know the club inside out, who the players at the club already know. I quite like it. I think he should be given every chance to succeed, and if it doesn't happen at the weekend, look, it's a tough fixture away to Aberdeen. If it doesn't happen the next week and the next week, he should be still given time, because remember, you know, back to Ange Postecoglou coming in, he needs 3 transfer windows. Well, Stevie Hamill's no different. A young manager should be given transfer windows to build his own team. He is nursing along Graham Alexander's squad here until he can get a proper run at January. And I know there's some weeks left in the transfer window, but very little time to work. Come January is where you probably got to judge him in next summer.
What do you think, Motherwell fans, interested observers? Is that the right appointment? Is it too risky? Would you have gone for someone else? Whatever you think about it, pick up that phone, 0141 951 1025. Let's do it right now. Stephen is a Motherwell fan first up. Sum up your feelings on that news, Stephen.
A lot of people online are saying that it's a cheap option. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think you look at the squad, it definitely needs players. Stevie Hamill is somebody that's been there at the club in the youth academy, so he automatically buys into the club ethos. He showed that he's not scared to give youngsters a chance, and he's come out in his interview and he said he's already identified 3 or 4 players to bring in. So these are all positive signs for me. And you think about it, the way that we lost the game against St Johnstone, that cannot be pinned on Stevie Hamill. That's up to the players to manage the game better. And we'd be sitting here with a very thin squad, 4 points out of six. So I'm optimistic about it.
What about those? Because, Stephen, this one's easy, isn't it? If there is anyone out there who's not convinced, it will be because of the lack of experience. It's as simple as that. I'm sure Stevie Hamill himself knows that. That doesn't mean it's a bad appointment, but that would be, if anyone had any concerns, that's where they would lie. How do you respond to that?
I mean, absolutely, but I think at this point when you're looking for a manager at the start of the season, it's very, very difficult to get somebody in with experience. I think the way our squad is as well, it's better for us to save the money and put it into the playing squad, because that's the urgent factor that needs addressed. He's a guy that knows the club like I know the back of my hand, so I think it's a good appointment, and it's one that could work well for us. I mean, we've seen it in the two games that he has had. We've won one, should have got a point in the other. So I see every reason to be optimistic about this.
Where I quickly disagree with Stephen is, he said, look, the defeat against St Johnstone is the players, not in the hands of Stevie Hamill. You can't have it both ways, because everybody gave Stevie Hamill a pat on the back when they beat St Mirren. As a manager, and this is what I'm saying about a new manager getting into a job that's never been this experienced, that won't wash in 3 or 4 months down the line when things are going bad. The aim will be at the manager, 100%, and Stevie Hamill will know that. Look, I understand what Mark's saying. I do agree with him that he's got to be given transfer windows. You can't just throw him in there. That's Graham Alexander's squad. You've got to see signings. You've got to see how he changes the sort of a tactics of the way they're going to play, Gordon. He might have a different way, a different approach of playing, a different system, different styles away from home. The lad's got to be given time. The great thing about Stephen Hamill's appointment is guys like Stephen, who go week in, week out and support Motherwell, will certainly give him every backing that is possible. And that's a great start for a young manager getting into a club, because you're not fighting against supporters, and supporters are not wishing, you know, well I hope the team lose in the next couple of games to get him out the door or whatever. The Motherwell fans will certainly get behind him, certainly back him. It's up to Stevie Hamill now and Brian Kerr to go and show they, you know, they're good enough because of the faith that the Motherwell board have put in them.
There were experienced managers who applied for it, Mark. It's always good to see young managers given a chance. Does it make it, I mean, is every appointment risky? Does it make it any more risky when you go for a so-called rookie manager?
I mean, you could argue either way, but you're right, every appointment is risky. Some of the names are being mentioned, Kevin Thompson, Tommy Wright. I mean, they all bring an element of risk. Kevin Thompson done great in the lower leagues with a budget that, of course, he probably should have won the league, but not been tested at the top level with full-time professionals. So it's a wee bit to go. Kevin Thompson, I think, will be a fantastic coach, but maybe not right.
You then
Tommy
look at,
Wright,
say, Simo Vallecari, who was on the shortlist, we believe, is a more experienced than experienced manager, but is managing in Finland. Yes, he played for Motherwell 23 years ago, but is that relevant? So
it's been out of country a long time. Is that relevant? Well, people come to this country, like we've seen numerous times, and hit the ground running. People just don't take to the culture, so it's always a gamble. I was always of the opinion that Alan Burrows and Jim McMahon and the rest of the board have a relationship with Stevie Hamill. They know what they're getting. They know he'll put his heart into it and give his all for that club. He must have different ideas from Graham Alexander. Daz is right. It'll be interesting to see how he shapes up differently, what his ideas are, because it can't be a carbon copy, or Motherwell will just find himself in the same position. So everybody at Motherwell, the hierarchy, must be confident that he's got a different style.
Stephen, was he your number one choice?
No, he wasn't. Probably Timo Vallecari would have been, because he's been in Finland and Norway and won stuff. But I think my next option would have been Stevie Hamill, because he knows the club. So if we were going to give it to Kevin Thompson, who's, Mark's just said, is inexperienced at the top level, then we're more likely to give it to someone who knows the club, like Stevie Hamill, than a Kevin Thompson. So it's an appointment that I've got a bit more awareness about it now. I know a bit more about it now that I've seen the few games. And I disagree with the point again that it wasn't the players' fault that we lost the game. Professional football players should be able to see a game out with 3 minutes to go. Stevie Harwell recognised that we weren't good enough in the first half. He changed it, brought on Joe Efford a bit more pace up front, and we were much better in the second half. And it's just poor game management towards the end, so I completely disagree with that point.
Thank you very much, Stephen. In Cambuslang, 01419511025, putting Gordon firmly in his place. Mm-hmm. That's what we like. Blair is also a Motherwell fan. How do you feel about the appointment of Stevie Hamill, Blair?
Hi, guys. I'd have to say, the previous caller I just listened in there, I think Stevie Hamill is a good appointment in some aspects. I was on you guys on Monday, and you did put me on the spot. With Stevie Hamill, would I take him? And I said yes. And when I found out from my brother today that it was he got announced, I was kind of happy because, like I said, if we didn't have an announcement made before Saturday, I think I'd be very concerned. But I'm still concerned about Saturday. But like the previous caller said there, I think there was elements of that performance in the second half that I can gain positives from, but there's still that little Jekyll and Hyde that we need to get out, because obviously Alexander, his problem was he was too loyal to too many players. And some of them were not, in my opinion, were not good enough. I think Gordon will probably agree with me. Some of them, I'm not going to mention names in that squad, but some are definitely not good enough. But the younger players coming through were definitely shining lights in Alexander's reign. He did give some of them a chance. And some of them were really, in my opinion, worth more a shout. But he decided to go for guys that he had previous experience with. And some of them were, so far, not really been good. The only one I could say, one of his signings he has been I could say shining light was Van Veen, but I think the problem is you can't do it from yourself. So I think he needs to, Hamill needs to bring players to support him, give him one ambition for some goals, because that's what Mo are really needing at this time.
Yeah, I mean, again, Blair, it's the obvious question is about the experience there. Could Motherwell have gone for someone who'd been a manager before? They've decided not to. What do you make of that side of it?
The experience thing, that could be the killer's heel, because I know Stephen Robinson, we had him, like I said to you on Monday, he was number two to McGee, and we gave him a chance, and he obviously took us to two cup finals, I think, in his first full season, and he kept us up the kind of 6 months he had, so... But I'm not saying that Stevie Hamill's going to do that, you know. I've experience factor. It could come back to haunt us, but like the previous caller said, I think he's got experience within the club, Stevie Hamill. So he knows how the kind of methods are, training, some of the guys. So I think you could ask me that probably maybe at Christmas time and see if it is a good appointment. But for now, I think it's nice to get a bit of stability. Get into this Saturday. We know exactly who's in charge and what we have to do to prepare for the game on Saturday.
Listen, I think everybody wishes us boy all the luck in the world. I said earlier I was surprised with the appointment, and everybody's coming on here and the first thing they're touching on is, well, he knows the club, he's been about the club, he knows the club know him. I remember not that long ago that one of the best players for Motherwell for years and years was Keith Lasley, which probably knows the club better than anybody else, has worked as the assistant manager under managers. And I think they looked at him to be the next one. And he had an absolute disaster against Hamilton and then never get quoted. So that's why I'm saying to you, as much as I hear the arguments about knows the club, I just didn't think they would go down that route. But let me make it clear, Gordon. I wish these two boys all the best. They're terrific lads. They'll work very hard for the club. You never know, because as everybody says, every appointment's a risk, where you go experience or new manager coming in, it's never worked at that level. I just hope he gets time in the transfer window, as Mark says, because Blair's right. It's not the strongest Motherwell squad we've ever seen.
Thank you, Blair. 01419511025. What do you think? Agreeing with what you've heard so far? Disagreeing? Pick up the phone and let us know. Rangers fans, what about this? A new first team coach in Cherry Bowley today. Have you done your research? Do you know much about him? Generally speaking, what about the pieces that Giovanni van Bronckhorst is putting in place early on in the season? Let us know your thoughts. 01419511025. We'll speak to you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. 0141 951 1025. What's on your mind tonight? Any Dundee United fans got FOMO, as the kids would say, Gordon DL? You know what that is?
Yes, stuck in the house all day, nothing to do. I don't know.
I don't think that's what it stands for, but weirdly, you've kind of got, it's not too far off if you get where I'm
going. Come on, Mark, you'll know.
Yeah, fear of missing out. I know.
Stuck
I'm
in
down
the,
with the young ones.
That's what I mean. Wondering what's all day what's going, today. What's going on?
F O M O, and you've wrote stuck in the house all day. Wondering what's got going anything on. To do. Anyway, if you're stuck here while everyone else is in the Netherlands, pick up the phone. I'm going to try and speak to producer Callum.
Oh,
I think
yes,
got to, but I'm a bit worried about
this
it.
This will be good.
We're reacting to the news that Stevie Hamill's the new Motherwell manager. Rangers fans, I'm asking to hear from you. It would be lovely to get your thoughts. Now, I know you might not have heard of Cherry Bowley, who is your new first team coach. This is the modern world. You've already gone on Google, Wikipedia, LinkedIn, whatever it is. You've done your research, I'm sure. And if not, well, phone us up anyway and we'll see what we can tell you. 01419511025. We do have another call coming in here from a Motherwell fan. Rab is in Coatbridge. Are you on board with the appointment, Rab?
Yes. No. No.
Rab, people,
why are you turned?
People change their minds very quickly on this show, Rab, but that is the quickest ever. Right, explain it.
Tell Mr. Wilson and company in there the reason I said no. Stevie Hamill is a legend at Motherwell. You don't get players that play for the jersey now, especially at Motherwell, and it's too soon for him. It's definitely too soon.
Don't worry, I'll tell them. I'll tell them that's what you said. Mm-hmm. Like, again, Mark, that's just the, it's an understandable stock answer, because of course it might be too soon, because he's never managed before. And again, you go back to Stevie Hamill will know that, obviously. It's the you know, for some guys it might have been, oh, hold on, he's been sacked from his last five jobs, and that would be the thing that they, the accusation that they need to beat away. So for Stevie Hamill, it's obviously that it might be too soon.
Yeah, and greatest respect to Motherwell, whoever you're getting in is always going to have some tag. You're completely right. You know, there would have been a list of candidates there who've got a CV, who've been in management for maybe 10, 15, whatever so years, but they've got blots all about that CV. And the Motherwell fans would rightly point that out. He's been sacked for here, here, here and here. I don't like his style of play. Doesn't he suit us? Or you've got Stevie Hamill, an unknown. Might play a totally different brand of football.
But he's never been sacked, and you don't know what his style of play is.
You don't know what his style of play is. So I can see why some Motherwell fans may think this is a risky appointment. Of course it's a risky appointment, but give the guy a chance.
I don't think the Motherwell fans are basically aiming this at Stevie Hamill, right? And the reason, because I think it was Blair that said it, the second caller. I think if you look at the Motherwell squad now, Gordon, it's a bit weak for me. And certainly needs an injection of a few players. So I think that when you look at the overall situation, they rode their luck against St Mirren. They lost, and I know what young Stephen's saying about, you know, they get back in the game and players should be concentrating 3 minutes, but they still lost the game. They're going up to Aberdeen. Maybe supporters are thinking, well, we need players in. We've got a new manager that has never managed before. Maybe an experienced guy come in, turn it round. Listen, I'm all for giving Stevie Hamill, I'm delighted for the boy, all for giving them the opportunity. But I totally understand what supporters are saying. See if Motherwell were in probably Alexander, your argument would be wouldn't. But if you look at Motherwell's squad and you thought, they've got a real good squad, they're just punching below their weight. Somebody in there, a different idea.
You don't think that's the case?
I think they need improvement. Mm. I think every Motherwell fan will agree with that. I think they need players in there to help them. Listen, Stephen O'Donnell, who's a friend of this show, Scotland International, come out in a press and actually said, look, we probably need more players rather than a manager.
Robbie's a proper legend at the club, though, Stevie Hamill. How much does that help?
The bottom line is, in one word, money.
What do you mean? You think it's a cheap option? Is that what you're getting at?
No.
Right.
I'm saying, Motherwell, right, 4,000, maybe 5,000, 8,000 when Rangers and Celtic come calling. We've no got the money to get this, but some of the players have got to stand up and be counted and play and no Hyde.
Well, that'll be the task for Stevie Hamill.
Stevie Hamill. Sure. Look, I think legends of the club get into clubs, whether that's as a number two assistant, manager, whatever, coach. I think current players look up to that. If there's somebody like Stevie Hamill, I think they look up and see the example that he's set, and I think it's pretty easy to get that across. But it's the tactical side of it that he's got to show a different side. But the players, I was just going to touch on the players, the structure of the club around Stevie Hamill's got to be right to get contacts in England. A young manager coming, you know, up into the hot seat, he's going to have a million things on his mind. There's got to be people helping him.
Well, in fairness, I think the club recognise the squad needs help. I think it says on the statement, if you check it, that they're going to bring players in, and Stevie Hamill's been part of identifying them already. So it's not an unknown. Thank you to Rab, 01419511025. Let's go straight on, actually. We'll just bring in John, who's a Rangers fan in Shettleston. What's your point tonight, John?
My point is, after what Glasgow Rangers done for Scottish football and the coefficient over the last 4 years, now, I've seen today that the Dutch FA have gave Feyenoord a full week to prepare against
PSV.
Rangers.
PSV, yeah.
Now, what I'm asking is, why is SFA not stepping in to help Rangers?
A few things to get through. It's PSV, not Feyenoord. Yeah. It would be the SPFL, not the SFA. But I appreciate that's maybe semantics to a point. The Rangers need it. The Rangers want it. If you were Rangers, would you want a break?
Absolutely not. You're 2 games into the league campaign. You've got your best goal scorer and best player, the top goal scorer in Europe in Rangers history. He needs games. Other players throughout the pre-season and, you know, the first couple of games of the season, I'll need up to speed. I'm sure Van Bronckhorst is sitting there thinking, no, we'll take the game. It's not like you're into January, February, where you've got so many games under your belt. You're looking at tired players, players that maybe need a rest. You're at the peak of your fitness now. You need to keep playing. You need to keep that sharpness. Absolutely no chance would I be asking for, you know, a rest before playing PSV. Absolutely no.
I mean, Mark, it is a fascinating one, because having a pop at the authorities and accusing them of not doing enough to help you is one of the favourite hobbies in this part of the footballing world. We thrive on it. But as Gordon says, is it even worthwhile making the point on this occasion?
No, Gordon's spot on. If I'm a player just now at this time of the season, often felt I got better as the season, the opening stages of the season went on. And I'm sure the Rangers players will be the same. You know, but they've just come off the back of a break. We chat about pre-season friendlies, how they don't really, you know, do it for players to get a bit of fitness. But when the competitive action comes into play, you see the players getting better week in, week out. And the Rangers squad that they've, Van Bronckhorst is a mass just now, that's a big enough and good enough squad to deal with a couple of fixtures a week. The Europa League final was totally different. There was fixture congestion at the end of the season. It was right to move that Motherwell game, but not at this stage of the season.
Could you imagine getting in and, you know, Morelos is sitting there thinking, I've missed football since March.
I need a game before.
I need to get games. I need minutes. And I'll tell you another one. New signing, Ben Davis. People are saying, well,
Yilmaz
not playing because they're not up to speed. This is a proper time. They've got good fixtures coming up. They've got a good fixture on Saturday. They're well favourites to go and win that, especially at Ibrox against St Johnstone. So I just think it's a great opportunity to get minutes under the into the legs, get the sharpness, because PSV's got to be a difficult game. Get into that, you know, with your fitness levels up, rather than taking a rest. I think that's ludicrous.
And I mean, Mark, again, there's no point in going over old ground tonight on all of this. There will have been countless examples, I'm sure, over the years when you could look at the authorities and say that, you know, they could have done more. But last season, and John points out, getting to the Europa League final, there wasn't really much wriggle room in the fixture, but we still tried. I think the Motherwell game was moved forward. Motherwell agreed. We're very accommodating in that part of the world. So, you know, it's easy to always sort of point the finger and always complain, and sometimes it'll be valid, but sometimes it's not, and you have to recognise that.
Of course, yeah. The league did the right thing at the tail end of the season there. But it'd be different if Van Bronckhorst was coming out and saying, we should be paying more attention to this. We really need a week to prepare. And then I think the Rangers fans have got an argument if the league don't do anything. I don't think anybody at Rangers would even entertain this idea. I think they would.
Well, you hear the man. If you disagree out there, by the way, I'd love to hear it, because that's what we're here for. If you think it would be beneficial, pick up the phone. Love to hear from you. If not, either way, let's hear it. 01419511025. Sorry, as you were saying.
No, listen, it's a player. I remember pre-season, right, at Celtic, we would play in the Champions League qualifiers and then would sometimes play a friendly. We'd have a 3 week to play a friendly in pre-season against one of the glamour sides. So it wasn't a rest week. So the games just kept coming, and I genuinely thought that I felt better. I played better, felt fitter as the month of August and into September wore on. I think these Rangers players be the same. And Daz and you make a great point about the new signings getting up to speed. They can only get up to speed if there's games and minutes for them to play.
Yeah, it would be interesting to, you know, if that is taken up in PSV's camp, why they feel it would be so beneficial. It's not like they don't know their stuff over there.
That's fine. My opinion, years and years ago, we heard teams moaning about, you know, we're getting into really important European qualifiers, and, you know, it's the start to say we've only had pre-season games, we're not up to speed.
So we always say that. Our teams haven't played enough football, and now it's
let's get a rest before a game.
To be fair, I'm not sure that many people are actually saying it. John obviously is, but.
Yeah, but listen, in theory, you're thinking, oh, give the players a rest. The next one will be, well, it narrows down the fact that players may get injured in games or whatever. But Rangers have got a massive squad. That happens. It happens in training. We all know that. I totally agree with Mark. If you're in that dressing room now, start of the season, bring the games on. These big games are brilliant. You want to be sharp as you can getting into these games. You don't want a delay of in sitting back, having a rest and just training.
Well, that's what I was going to say. See, if Rangers or the fans think they need a break for the qualifying rounds, once they get, or if they get into the Champions League group stages, you don't get breaks midweek to prepare.
Well, and it's even worse now because we've got the World Cup.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be even more congested. Yeah. So, look, it's a fair debate. If there's anyone out there who does think it would be a good idea and our nasty authorities should be doing more at this stage, then please do. We'd love to hear from you. Another bit of news whilst we're on the topic. I did tease it a couple of times earlier. Rangers have announced today they've appointed a new first team coach, which tends to be quite an important step. Cherry Bowley. Dr. Cherry Bowley, yes,
don't
indeed. From the City Football Group. The statement says he holds a PhD in sports psychology and coaching science. I will try and find out if Gordon DL knows what PhD stands for. I think we could get some very interesting responses to that.
We'll discuss that at the break.
Is there not an episode of Friends with that joke in it? I think we'll maybe.
Don't ask,
some sort of film. I don't know. I've got a quote in my head somewhere. We'll move on swiftly. It says he's got a wealth of varied experience to further complement the backroom team. He led the creation of and implemented the City Football methodology, which is now in place across all of their clubs. Straight away, Mark Wilson, before you even delve into the finer detail, nowadays when you see City Football Group, it tends to be a good thing. That'll be the first three words that the Rangers fans' eyes will be drawn to.
And rightly so. It's a pretty eye-catching title. And when you dig a wee bit into what he's done, you know, I think it's 12 clubs over five continents. And, you know, Van Bronckhorst spent a good bit of time beside him when he went to Man City for 6 months. So he knows him inside out. But you're right, the City Group, as soon as that's mentioned in terms of coaching, because of the success primarily of Man City and Pep Guardiola, then everything seems to be a good thing after that. It's a slightly different role probably when he's at Rangers now. He's first team coach. He's maybe overseen a whole load of things, but it's different when you're on the pitch to, I suppose, running things all over the world. But an interesting appointment.
Yeah, Gordon, I don't think anyone should get carried away and suggest that this is the next Pep Guardiola. Maybe he is, maybe he's not. I'm not sure we need to go that far when Mark mentions the name. But is it maybe indicative of a direction that football is heading in? You're looking for people with proper expertise to complement what you've already got. There was a time when coaching teams were made up of guys that used to play, and then they became coaches. We're now talking about PhDs in sports psychology and coaching science. We're talking about adding that trying to add the finer detail, take care of the fine margins. That's clearly what appointments like this are for.
Yeah, every team, every coaching staff's trying to get an edge, Gordon. I don't know what his roles and his responsibilities will be as the first team coach. Obviously, the manager believes that he's got to bring something to that department, and they've brought him in. I think Rangers fans will be excited to see what he brings. You're right, the modern day game now, it's all different departments. Each and every one of your staff got their responsibilities and their duties to go and make sure everything's ticking along and it's all prepared for the team getting into big, big games. Because if you look at our two big Scottish clubs, if Rangers can get through PSV and Celtic in the Champions League group stages, it's absolutely brilliant. So you need as much help as you can. And also as a manager, I think sometimes, you know, as a manager, you've got to keep learning. You just don't think, well, I'm the manager of Rangers and Celtic. These guys learn every single day. They'll be, you know, they'll be making sure they're on the ball. And if he can get brought in and all of a sudden, you know, Van Bronckhorst looks at one or two things and thinks, yeah, that's a great, I wasn't thinking of that. My staff weren't thinking of that. It's a plus. Let's move. That's what coaching is all about now. It's all about progressing every single day, Gordon.
Thank you very much, 01419511025. It's a great time to call, actually, because we'll get some travel and you could be up next. Let's hear from you.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here at 01419511025. Where are we? About an hour and 13 minutes to be precise away from kickoff in Alkmaar. Mark Wilson's got his tangerine t-shirt on for the big occasion. To be fair, you could have gone a step further. This time last week, this man came in with a legitimate match-worn 1981 Scottish Cup final jersey that he found down the back of his wardrobe. Surely you've still got some of those baggy Dundee United strips I could have worn.
Morning, noon and night on the front. And I've got a load.
How baggy are they?
Oh, really baggy.
My memory of, and I don't know if this was just shirts in general or you specifically, my memory of you as a player at Dundee United is baggy strip.
Right, and see, when I look at them now and the sizes, they're all XL. You were just handed an XL. It was only when I went to Celtic in the latter years of that. What size do you
start
want?
Start choosing.
I was like, well,
and you get the Nike slim fit.
I didn't go for the slim fit. I was always a bit curvy.
Honestly, my only memory of him, Dundee United strip, is running about Celtic Park all over the place.
For the opposition.
He was playing Dundee United and he hadn't. I mean, see, if you watch this, it's comedy gold, right?
I was during lockdown when it was on the TV. Yeah. Remember, they were showing the old ones and he phones me.
Where the ball was, look at the other end of your TV and you'll see the mushroom running about in circles.
It could be a good show, though, right? So if they get through, that's the big incentive for us all. You dig out one of your old strips and wear it on.
I'll wear it. I'm gutted. I will. The one I wore against MyPa 47. Can't remember that.
You know, apparently that's
the one you sat on the bench. That'll be fresh.
Apparently that's that you can buy that. Someone's got one online. They claim to be selling your match worn MyPa 47 strip.
Can't be worth much, yeah.
Well, I wouldn't have thought so. No offence.
Have I any bids in for mine yet?
You know, two people that two people contacted me and I said I would pass it on, so I'll do it publicly. Two people did genuinely contact me to say they would be interested in having the discussion about buying that strip off.
What are you wanting for it?
Oh, we can't.
Wait,
discuss
what are we
£12.50.
It's a bit much.
A couple of fridge.
It's genuine wool.
A couple of fridge magnets would do lovely. I don't know if you've got any of them. I've got plenty of them.
Fridge magnets.
Is it fridge magnets?
Oh, with your face on them.
Yeah.
Oh, they were selling them as well. No, but genuinely, right? I know I like to take advantage of situations like this sometimes, but I promise you, two people contacted me to say they would consider having the, or they would have the discussion with you if you wanted to.
It's back in the bottom of the world.
It's got to go to charity. Surely. You can't be keeping that money for yourself.
A wee weekend away in the golf. I was going to take
you with me. I
know.
It's not worth that much. It's no John Greggs, for goodness sake.
It's a nine holer. We're only going for nine holes.
Mini golf.
It's not John Greggs.
It's not John Greggs.
He's having a go at you there. 01419511025. I think I've still got the track to it. Ball boy printed at the back of it.
Duncan.
Sometimes it was so cold I would wear two.
That's brilliant that you were a ball boy. I keep forgetting that.
You live a simple life. You played in the Champions League and you think it's brilliant.
I always wanted to be a ball boy. I never made
Did you get a certain area to sit?
I used to actually quite like the the sort of risk, if you can call it of going the away fans. Did you like that? Yeah.
Right, but Nodge
did you give
right.
them it one night before? It was, and I always remember it was. Someone can look it up specifically. It was a. I'm 5th of December is my birthday, for anyone who wants to buy a present. So I know it was round then. I think it was like the night before. You remember these things when you're a kid. I think Motherwell battered Hearts at Fir Park, and there was coins and all sorts raining down. So it was at that moment that I thought, ah, maybe the way in's no great. But it was good up until then.
But you were always in your stadium. You were never the old stadium. No.
How old you what do you mean?
Well, what year
what
was
do you
that?
Mean the old stadium?
Oh, I played in the old stadium with the terrace.
But it was the same stadium.
Yeah, but it was old.
You think you think I'm old enough to be a ball boy when there was terrace and nine goals?
Well, how long has Motherwell been an all-seater?
Well, it doesn't matter, right? Because it was nowhere near that. We're talking about 2000, 2001. Yeah,
your time frame is 2001. All yeah. off on okay. everything.
Okay. Anyway, right, enough of that. Let's bring in Jamie, who's a Rangers fan from Blantyre. What's your point tonight, Jamie? Hi, Jamie, can you hear us?
Yeah.
What's your point, Jamie?
Sorry.
No worries.
I was dealing with the rain.
Oh, right. Listen, I feel your pain. Bath time, right. Isn't it?
No problem. Right, listen, I've got a wee question for the freeze. Mm-hmm. Do you think that the SFA and stuff should help clubs when they get closer and stuff to, like, see when it's really needed? Do you think they could be doing more?
So we're on this fixture moving topic, yeah?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, are you talking generally, or are you talking right now? Because I think that's important. Would you expect this fixture to be moved? Because we're not talking about a fixture in May, are we? We're talking about this. We can't lump them all together.
Personally, do you think the three? Do you think we should be helping the clubs to try and progress and do everything out with what Rangers have actually done over the last 3 years, just with coefficients? I'm asking. Our association, do you think they should be doing more?
Again, I just feel like it's a loaded question mark, because if you're speaking generally, then obviously it would be lovely to help. But if you're speaking specifically about mid-August,
well, you have to take the circumstances into account. So if it's a normal season with normal games, even when it gets to May, no, the answer is no, probably not. If it's something exceptional where there's been postponements,
why not? You should always be able to look at it and try, though.
But, well, was every other league doing it?
No, yeah, but that's the argument. Most seem to.
But when you get to the latter stages of competitions, you get there on merit because you've handled the fixtures before. Why should you change then the final or the latter stages? I would say if it's exceptional circumstances, if there's fixture congestion, pile up and congestion from January onwards, like last season, of course they should help it. But from now into January, then no way. Again, I'll go back to the Champions League group stages. If Rangers get into the Champions League group stages and Celtic are already there, do you cancel the game at the weekend before these Champions League group stage games? Of course
well,
not.
I think the argument, if there is one, the argument would be, yeah, but you know, getting there is the main hurdle. You get there, it brings in the money for the club. There's some of that, you know, drips down to the rest of Scottish football. You're trying to help them get there. Of course, once you've got six group games, it's going to be...
Well, if you're in there, you should be good enough to get there. That is the argument as well. And there's a big pile.
I know what you're saying, Mark, but I think I think it's difficult because we can have a poor winter and you can miss games and we have to catch up with games, and obviously we've had the problems before, and it leaves the government in a bit of a problem with trying to catch and fit everything in. And the later stages. And important to any Scottish team, yeah, I think we can always try and help. But if Jamie's talking especially about now,
which you'd have to assume, because that's why we're having the discussion,
absolutely no chance for me. And I don't even think Rangers players would even
it'll
want
be interesting, because we'll hear from Giovanni Van Bronckhorst tomorrow, and I'm sure he'll be asked, and he might say, we want this moved. If the league don't agree, they're a disgrace. He might. Or he might say, absolutely not, it'd be nice to get the games. Look, I know I keep saying this. This topic has a long and controversial history. But if we confine ourselves to the most recent example, which would be the most relevant, last season, Rangers went to the league and to their opposition and said, any chance we can move it? They both said, yes, fine. And they did. So maybe we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. We'll find out tomorrow.
Exactly. I think everybody or a certain element of the Rangers fans thought that with a Europa League final, the league were going to stand in the way and block it and make Rangers play on the day that we got. They didn't. You're right. They moved aside. They moved things about to try and help Rangers.
And to be fair, it wasn't a great deal, but it was about all that could probably be done within the
limitations. They pulled together. Yeah, exactly. And the question has to be asked. I don't think Rangers would even ask the question, but you're right. We'll see probably tomorrow when Van Bronckhorst gives his press conference.
Thank you, Jamie, in Blantyre. It's been a quick hour. It's that time of the night already.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Still on the lookout. We still need a listener to beat the pundit. We've had one this season. One. That's all we've got. Even Marvin Bartley, did he win on a tiebreaker last night, was it?
Yeah.
No, or was it you?
No, I won the night. Marvin won 2-1.
I knew it was forgettable. 2-1.
Marvin,
last
victory.
Night.
When's
a win?
Oh, when's a win? Well done, Marvin, if you're listening.
One of the callers used the word honking last night, and I think that best described the Beat the Pundit performance as well. If you can be the listener who can finally get us another victory, then come on, let's do it. 0141 951 1025. I know you're out there, so pick up the phone, and your chance to beat the pundit is next, but you need to call before 7 o'clock.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Big night of European football, 1 hour away. AZ Alkmaar against Dundee United. We're going to build up to that. I think we're brave enough to try producer Callum. He's been in Amsterdam for a couple of nights. He's now in Alkmaar. He's going to the game. I think we'll try and get him on. And if there's anyone else out there listening, because I'm sure you will be, all the way from the Netherlands, let's hear from you. We've had a few calls in on whether or not Rangers should get the chance to move a league game or get a bit of extra time to prepare. This is on the back of PSV Eindhoven being offered something similar. Lots of discussion about Stevie Hamill as the new Motherwell manager. So any of that, if you want to add your thoughts, and if you want to change the topic completely, it's a good time to do so. 0141 951 1025.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, I can feel it. This is the night. We need a victory for the listeners. What have we played? 13? Played 13, I think, of the new season. Maybe more. No, it must be 13. And only one victory for the listeners so far. Adam and Ardrossan, is that going to change tonight?
Hopefully so.
Hopefully, yes. I like it. That's the optimism we're looking for. I've had a quick glance. I think the questions are quite tricky tonight. Now, last season, Adam, Mark finished above Gordon in the table. Is that accurate? Who would you rather face?
Sounds like my Celtic fan. Give me the mushroom.
There we are. He disliked your service for the club so much that he wants to take you on.
I want to torture him for all the times he tortured me. He did pay for it.
Honestly, do you know what I enjoyed it this morning?
Golf.
When the three of us played golf. Now, you were on Mark Wilson's team, but for some reason You were trying to put him off. That's just not really the way it should work.
And I particularly
enjoyed on the 18th tee, we all came down to that, and we were shouting out names of all his fullback rivals from his time. Andy Hinkle getting mentioned. Yeah. Your old pal Shadow Ree. From Tuesday night. Yeah.
Not a good teammate.
He's the worst, isn't he? He's the type of teammate, I've noticed this, that he would just rather do his bit well and lose, than have you
100%
contribute.
I got that.
It's ridiculous. Anyway, heads it's Mark Wilson, tails it's Shadow Ree's agent, and it is heads. It's Mr. Tangerine.
This is my fifth in a row.
I know how you feel. That's himself. What happened to me.
Right, so we'll give. Come on, Adam. Adam gets his wish. We'll give Mark Clyde 2 in his ear, and we'll get your clock ready. Adam, 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can, and pass if you don't know. That's all I've got for you. Okay.
Cool.
Let's go. 30 seconds starting now. Name the last Celtic player to wear the number 9 shirt.
Oh, pass.
Who's the shortest serving permanent Rangers manager in the club's history?
Gerrard.
Which Scottish Championship side play their home games in Aberdeen?
Pass.
Daniel Phillips has joined St Johnstone after leaving which English club?
Pass.
Name the only team Scotland men's side have defeated in 2022.
Israel.
In what year did Andy Robertson leave Dundee United for Hull?
2009.
Who are Celtic facing in the next round of the League Cup?
Kingbeath.
Okay, let's bring back Mark. Mark, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Same set of questions.
Daz's facials suggests that these are
that
tricky.
You're in trouble.
Aye.
Right.
No,
I think you're Bilkey. I'll get four.
Same set of questions. Yeah, are you ready? Okay. Name the last player to wear number 9 for Celtic.
G'day.
Who's the shortest serving permanent manager in Rangers history?
Le Guin.
Which Scottish Championship side play their home games in Aberdeen?
Cove.
Daniel Phillips has joined St Johnstone after leaving which English club?
Burnley.
Name the only side that Scotland's men's team have defeated in 2022.
Denmark.
In which year did Andy Robertson leave Dundee United for Hull?
2014.
Adam, how do you think it went?
Totally embarrassed.
I love when you fade them up and I don't know how they've done. That is the best response I could have hoped
for. I would like to face the mushroom.
There's a couple of things we've not had a lot this season. We've not had
zero.
We've not had more than one victory for the listeners.
He said a zero.
I had him faded down there, but he did say that. We've not had any zeros.
Yeah.
We've not had anyone with 100% record. There's a few things. Let's see if any of them get ticked off tonight.
Oh, Adam.
The last player to wear number 9 for Celtic, Lee Griffiths. Come on.
Confused.
Adam's a Celtic fan and you're a former Celtic player.
Can you do me just one favour?
Did Adam get it?
Can you say you never got it and then I'll go, Adam didn't get it either.
Okay. Who's the shortest serving permanent Rangers manager in the club's history? Pedro Caixinha. 227 days. You didn't get it.
Adam didn't get it either.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Which Scottish Championship side play their home games in Aberdeen? It is Cove.
Yes.
I didn't think he would get it.
But Adam didn't get it.
This isn't looking good, Adam.
Daniel Phillips has joined St Johnstone after leaving Watford. Mark, you didn't get it.
Adam
didn't get it either. Name the only side that Scotland's men's team have defeated in 2022. Denmark was last year, believe it or not.
Was it?
It's Armenia. Yeah. Mark didn't get that one.
Adam didn't get it either.
In what year did Andy Robertson leave Dundee United for Hull? You should know this. You were there. It was the year that you got pied for the Scottish Cup final.
Yeah.
It was 2014. So Mark got that one.
And Adam didn't get that one either.
Adam didn't get it either. Now it's alright. Hold on. There was time.
This is where Adam run out of questions.
I need to be honest here, right?
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't admit this. I
tried to give him one.
Probably skirted slightly over the time just to give Adam one more question.
Question.
It was on the whistle, so I thought we'll go for it.
What's the question?
So Mark, you didn't get this far. So who are Celtic facing in the next round of the League Cup?
Come on, Adam. Ross County.
Mark didn't get that.
Adam, full house, it's a zero.
Adam said Cowden Beef.
Adam, what team do you support, Celtic?
Everything apart from Thursday.
Adam, do you know what, Adam? You've been a terrific sport.
Yeah.
We needed somebody to get a zero in the first time this season. That's the way to look at it.
It was a first time person,
actually. Exactly.
Gordon, see if you can get the full 10-0.
That is a great point. We've never done that before. Adam, I'm sorry to make fun of you like this, but let's try. Right,
because
usually somebody gets 8 right and we try and complete the 10. I like your thinking. You could produce this show.
Thank you.
Who did James Tavernier replace as Rangers captain, Adam?
John Gregg.
No idea.
Yes, it's me, Wallace. We're on for the full house. Who were the last Italian winners of the Champions League, Adam?
Okay, come on, Adam.
Yes! Well done, Adam. Listen, terrific sport. Thanks for having us. Look, I even enjoyed Adam's company. We're going to keep him for another minute or two. Come on, let's talk football, Adam. Let's get back to basics here. You're a Celtic fan. They obviously will do better in the coming weeks than you just did on Beat the Pundit.
Hopefully.
How are you feeling about things at the moment? I feel like it's been a bit quiet because you're in the lovely position of waiting for the group stages. Whilst everyone else is going through qualification, how does it feel to be a Celtic fan?
Yeah, it's good to know. Obviously, I had a fear last season, but that turned out to be very good. So it can only get better and better for here. And I think we're in a great position to keep striving on and hopefully get an all league title in the bag and don't make a show up in Europe.
Would you want any more transfer business, or are you happy with what you've got?
I would say I'm happy, but I wouldn't say no to maybe somebody at the back. Just more options in a sense rather than anything else, and maybe a striker.
It's been quite an interesting week, Mark, because Alex Collado, Barcelona, is the name being touted. Some people phoned in last night then and said, well, I don't know if another sort of winger attacking midfielder is what we need. Maybe it is a striker. Adam's now mentioned someone else at the back. It's been a quiet spell, but there's still time left. It'll be interesting to see what does happen. And then of course people might need to leave to make way.
I think there will be a couple more in the door. It's how big those players are. Are they being brought in to be a squad player, or will there be a couple of big hitters brought in now? Alex Calardo, I said the other day there that if you got offered a player of his stature, then he's worth bringing, even if it's not a priority position. I would agree with Adam though.
At the back?
Probably at the back. Look, you've got Jens who came in and did pretty well.
Starfield, Carter Vickers and Welsh.
Carter Vickers.
You need more than four centre backs.
But you're going to keep all four fit.
Because Julian's there as well.
Julian's finished. He's done. I would think Ange Postecoglou might opt for another if it comes in the radar.
I think he would certainly take more players in. There's no doubt. As a coach and the amount of games that's coming up and opposition you're facing, you want as many quality players in the building as you can. I know the big question mark is how do you keep all quality players happy, but that's your job as a manager. But I wouldn't be surprised for a striker. I know you guys are talking about the quality they've got through there, but you just see what happened to Rangers last year. But I would just like to offer Adam two hospitality tickets to the Cowdenbeath game and you can pick them up at the studio.
Adam, the only thing worse than getting a zero and beat the pundit would be having to spend the night with that guy, believe me. So you were a great sport, and forever you will be known as the first zero of the season. Well done, Adam.
Cheers,
well
mate.
Done.
Thank
well,
you.
Well done. Thanks for playing, Adam.
He's glad he's fat. I told you not to phone.
It's like when someone's family used to sign them up for the X Factor.
Oh, yeah.
And my family said I'd be great at this, and they stink the place out and they blame it on their family.
Good Adam. Questions Adam. Just didn't fall for him.
Well, to be fair, you only two.
Two more than Adam. So I needed.
There were about three Celtic questions.
You did admit, Gordon, the questions were tricky.
Lee Griffiths being a number nine ahead of John Guidetti.
But I didn't need it. I didn't need it. Poor Adam.
I think producer Chris does make more difficult questions.
He does.
Than that other dud producer. Oh, by the way, we're joined on the line by producer Callum. I'm really excited
about
this.
By the way, see if you want to know over in Netherlands if Callum Bell is the producer of the show. Know how you find out? Just sit next to him.
Oh, he'll be telling everybody.
That's what he does.
And do you know what's great about this? We could make radio history here, because not only have we just had that zero, fine, that's small time. Do you think a live phone-in has ever had to dump a call from its own producer before? Depending on how he's enjoyed the last couple of days. Callum, how are you?
I'm good. My dad's given me like a proper pep talk. Now, you know, son, you can't say bad words on the radio. So I've had a talking to. So I think I'm all right. I think I'll manage.
Oh, I don't.
What voice is that you're putting
on? He's not. He's excited. He's hyper. That's what it is.
He's putting on his Dundonian voice.
Look, forget the game. That's all very well and interesting. Qualifiers, blah, blah, blah. Who was Amsterdam last night?
You mean this morning? I was a very good time. I met a lot of nice people. I had a really good time.
Bet you did.
Oh dear.
This morning.
A lot of nice people.
Oh,
how's the bank balance, Callum?
Shot to pieces. So if you could give me some of that Celtic's Mark Wilson money when I get back,
I'd really appreciate it. Oh my, right. I think we need to talk football before we get ourselves in any bother. So where are you right now? In the stadium or what? You must be nearby.
I am in the shadow of the Alkmaar Stadium. Don't even ask me what the team is, because I've not a clue. I've been in a really packed, sweaty bus for the last 46 minutes, specifically 46. All I can tell you is the United fans are buzzing for it. I'm delicate, is a polite way of putting it, and I'm ready to watch Dundee United progress to the next round of the Europa Conference.
He doesn't speak that Dundonian when he's in here.
Please record this and we'll play it back on Saturday.
Ready to watch Dundee United. Is it because his dad,
my home team.
Is it because his dad and his pals are nearby? He does not speak that Dundonian in here.
He's in the front looking up, going the back of the bus. He can't shout all together, lads.
It's a sensation.
He's got in the spirit of things, Callum. Listen, are you confident?
Absolutely, yeah. I'll use polite language. I think we will win the tie. That'll do.
Win the tie. We've got a team. Birigiti in goal, Smith, Mulgrew. I've not had time to shoot this up. Fletcher, Ryan Edwards, the skipper, Craig Sybil, Beach is in, McGrath, Levitt, Harks and Watt. So pretty strong, you would have to say. A Glenn Middleton goal scorer last week on the bench, though. Kudjoe, obviously an option off the bench there. Niskanen, Clark, they're your sort of attacking options.
Pretty strong. I think you've got plenty of experience there, and you've got, when you look at the bench, you've got pace on that bench to bring on if the, if you're camped in and you want to hit them in a counter attack. I think it'll be difficult for United tonight. Sorry, Cal, we burst your bubble, but I think it's going to be a big ask.
Yeah, I've got to agree with the match.
Where's the optimism?
Look, I thought they played excellent at Tannadice last week. Gordon, I watched the second half after the show. I thought they played very well. Deserved their goal. Terrific goal. I can understand Middleton being on the bench tonight. They're away from home. First 20, 25 minutes is going to be so important for Jack Ross's team. But look, we're all rooting for him. We're hoping that it's
Callum
a success.
Or
just for Callum.
Rooting for him.
No, just for Callum. I just want him to get back so we can play this clip again Saturday.
Producer Callum, thank you. Look, enjoy your night. Stay safe. Don't do anything that Gordon DL would do.
That means absolutely nothing to me, but thank you for the advice.
Honestly, right,
I've
had a message, right, from someone who used to work in news maybe, I don't know, a year ago, a couple of years ago, who sent me a message and said, that's not the same producer Callum from it's when not. I was there, is it? He doesn't talk like that.
He doesn't. Honestly, I thought that was his dad that come on. I thought he went, here, dad, go in there and kid on.
Put on the old accent, innit? Because he's been surrounded by
do you do
United
that when
fans.
You go back
oh, when
to
I go back, yeah, Ken. Like.
Yeah. Oh, well, we'll do that. But,
Ken.
You know, I've seen Callum before, and I tell you, everybody over there.
He seems excited, doesn't he? He's had a good couple of days.
He's just messaged me. See what I asked him he was. He's just messaged me, and we don't have this type of relationship, believe me. Three tangerine love hearts, and then the word cheers with a kiss.
Oh, brilliant. How many people over there has he told?
I know.
I produce.
Joey does love that, by the way.
That's his line.
Absolutely loves
does
that.
He? Oh,
yeah.
If you want him, that he's a producer.
It is. It's a well known fact. You want to know what Callum does for a living, just sit next to him.
Rich coming from you, to be fair.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to hear about Man City,
if you want to hear about my career, sit down.
Three tangerine. I didn't even know you could do tangerine love hearts.
That's brilliant. He's just merry. He's having a good time.
On the emojis. Speaking of which, see if you go to @ClydeSSB on Twitter, you will see the latest. How seamless was that, by the way? Not to praise myself.
That was good.
You'll see our latest emoji game. Remember that? Oh. It's back.
That was difficult this time.
If you go, yeah, it was tough, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Don't give any away. Go over to Twitter @ClydeSSB. Check out these guys. I think I'm in it as well, unfortunately. But the guy's trying to come up with a footballer's name based on emojis. I mean, Hugh Keevans doesn't even know what an emoji is, so you need to get past that first. It's very good fun, so go and check that out. Let's bring in Alan, who's from Perth but is also at the game in Alkmaar. This should be challenging. Alan, are you excited? Are you as excited as producer Callum was?
No, I'm very excited for the game tonight. You know, I feel like it's going to be a really exciting game. You know, for Dundee United, I feel like in Scotland in general, you know, I feel like the whole of Scotland will be watching this game tonight, because obviously, you know, it's a lot for Scottish football, you know, for the Scottish Football Leagues in general. And I feel like if Dundee United can get a result tonight, it will really show that Scottish teams are really underestimated in Europe, on the European level.
I like it. I like that sentiment, because it would be brilliant. I mean, look, if Dundee United win, it's their credit. You know, Scottish football, I'm not sure how much credit can take, but it would be that a kind of shot in the arm, if you like. You look at the reaction last week. The next night, we were getting calls from Celtic and Rangers fans wanting to talk about what Dundee United had done the previous night. They're standing on the brink, Mark. They've given themselves a great chance.
Yeah, of course. They were magnificent last week, and you've seen the crowd. The crowd made it as well. It's such an occasion. Real heart back to, I suppose, what the older generation of United fans were used to. And, you know, it's been so many years that they didn't have that sort of performance in Europe when they got there, the occasional time they got there. So it was one that they'll always remember. If they can go and put in a similar performance and manage to get through, Alkmaar is a real scalp. I said last week that them playing Alkmaar, it made the tie more glamorous and they'd find it difficult. But they matched them in every department last week. I hope they really can match it again tonight. but will be difficult. But Alan's right, Scottish teams in Europe, I know Motherwell crashed out, but they were in Europe anyway. United, Hearts, Celtic, Rangers. We're so used to talking about Celtic and Rangers here, it's refreshing to talk about some of our other clubs.
I'd love them to win tonight, I really would. I can get back to what Mark's saying there about the Jim McLean days, the European nights over in the new camp against Barcelona, all the fantastic times at Dundee United to have. What a side they were in those days. So it would be nice for the younger generation, and obviously the fathers that took them along there to support the Tangerines, to get a great result tonight and a positive one.
Alan, how much tougher are you expecting it away from home tonight?
You know, I feel like tonight Alkmaar will really come flying out of the traps. You know, obviously they didn't get the result they wanted to get last week. You know, I feel like they'll really be desperate for the result tonight. And I feel like if Dundee United can get past that phase at the start, you know, I feel like Alkmaar will apply a lot of pressure to Dundee United. So I feel like if they can get through that period, Dundee United could possibly get a good result tonight.
When you're due back home, Alan, tomorrow?
Yeah, we're actually back home, tomorrow morning.
That sounds like a plan that could change depending on the outcome.
Yeah. That seems like a difficult question.
That seems like it was a penciled in, an open ticket, if you like. Thank you, Alan. Enjoy the game, will you?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Good man, Alan, from Perth, but in Alkmaar. What's the beauty of this show?
They've asked him to look out for 6 foot two, pasty white guy,
looking a bit like Tim Henman. I see some of the stuff he's sending me. It's weird. Do you know what? I've actually just remembered when you said something about, oh, you know, going back to the sort of glory days.
Yeah.
I was driving, so I didn't actually take it in just how weird his behaviour has been all day, and maybe a sign of what he's been doing.
Who are you talking about?
Callum, for no reason.
All right.
No reason whatsoever. He sent me Paul Hegarty and
David Neary
and Hamish McAlpine's phone numbers.
I've got him issues.
I've just remembered that for no reason whatsoever. I knew Amsterdam was a good night out, right?
Is he supposed to be back here on Saturday?
He'll not be back. Hamish and Paul Hegarty sit and go.
Why would they send you their numbers?
Because they're part of the great Dundee United team.
I know, you're sitting in Amsterdam, you would say, I tell you what, I'm going to send his number.
Hold on, he's still sending me just a stream of messages. He's now texting me trying, I have no idea if this is true, to say that it's his birthday. It's his birthday today, apparently.
No,
has it? That's what he says, but he might be talking.
I don't think he knows when his birthday is.
He has honestly just messaged me to say it's his birthday.
He doesn't know what day of the week is.
Somebody's told him that.
It's your birthday, mate.
We know who's told him.
I think it might actually be, you know.
Is it? Well, happy birthday if he's listening, which he's almost certainly not.
It is. Actually, it's we've just ignored it completely. Happy birthday. 01419511025. It's a good time to call. We'll get you on next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's time for Gordon DL and Mark Wilson to tackle tonight's full-time teaser. That's basically, I'm sure you've heard it before, but if not, you send the questions to us and the pundits try and come up with the answers. It's quite good fun because it shows the imagination you lot have got. It shows the lack of knowledge this lot have got. And I just get to stand and enjoy it all. So fulltime@clyde1.com if you want to send a question in. fulltime@clyde1.com, that is the address that you need to send it to. You can tweet us, of course, and phone if you want to make a point about football in general, but that is where you go for the teaser. Let me make sure I can give the appropriate shout out to whoever sent that one in. I think it was Stephen McCara who sent that one in, so thank you to Stephen, much appreciated. And let's see if the guys can come up with your answers. Can you name the last five Rangers and last five Celtic Scotsmen to score in European group stage competition? That's a cracker, by the way. You think that would be easy, but when you look at some of the names, last five Rangers and last five Celtic Scotsmen to score in European group stages.
Barry Ferguson.
No. Interesting that was the first one you went to.
Hawaii, is that interesting?
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter, I'm not going to give you any clues at the moment.
Callum McGregor.
Yes, Lille at home in 2020.
Kevin Thompson. My mind was it?
Just. It's wrong.
Right, that's fine.
But you're going for a guy who isn't particularly recent. Didn't even score that many goals. I want to know the thought process.
He's Scottish.
I know.
Right.
Stuart Armstrong.
No.
Mackay Stephen.
No.
Wade Griffiths.
No.
We're down that road.
I'd be surprised. Celtic ones are very interesting.
Scott
list.
Brown.
No.
James Forrest.
No. Oh, what? The Celtic list's a cracker.
Stephen Welsh.
Yes. Do you remember the game?
Yes, I do. It was a good one.
Real Betis.
Yes.
At home just last year.
Rangers ones.
Patterson.
Oh, Nathan good Patterson. Shout. Nathan Patterson. No.
You have another look at that.
Wasn't the group stages. I think it was after the group. Was it after the group stages? Yeah.
Oh, thought it was a good shout.
I thought it was a good shout myself. I'm up my game here.
Arfield, I know
he's Canadian.
I know, but he's really from Scotland, isn't he?
We tend to do football nationalities. He's not on there anyway, so.
Oh, Jesus, wee man.
Who have we said for Rangers? Did we say Chris Boyd?
Don't bother.
All right. Or what about
Kenny Miller? Oh,
don't waste my time.
Charlie Adam.
No.
Kenny Miller. Hi.
No. Kenny Miller.
Yes. On tomorrow night. Let's see if he would have known that about himself. Bursaspor away in 2010 for Kenny Miller. Okay, we'll leave it there. Three down, seven to get. The last five Celtic and last five Rangers Scotsmen to score in the European group stages. Kenny Miller, Stephen Welsh, Callum McGregor. If you like the sound of it, think you can send a question in and get it used on the show. The address you need is full time.
Anthony Larson.
I cannot stand when he does that, honestly.
Is he one?
Especially when it's a correct answer.
Yes!
Oh,
yes! It's boom, boom, boom.
Betis away in 2021. 0141 951 1025 in the phones. Alex in Kilsyth. He's dialed the number. What's your point, Alec?
It's Alec Forsyth. I'm from Blatner. I'm not from Kilsyth.
Honestly. See, look at Hoddit and Doddit in the studio, blaming each other. Do you know what it is? Because Callum, there's too much facial hair in that studio. I feel like it's all sort of curling up and like covering over the ears. And not really.
I like how he picked you up though.
Alec Forsyth, not Alec in Kilsyth.
That's a famous football
it's
name.
It's an easy mistake to make. Anyway, sorry Alec, what's your point?
Just a bit of praise for Giovanni van Bronckhorst. Just be coaching, as Gordon was talking about. Steven Gerrard came out with a statement and he got put out of Europe before he left the job. And he said, this is as far as I can take this Rangers squad. And that kind of stuck with me. And I was like, well, he's either going to get promised a war chest or he said, listen, that's the best I can do. And I thought any of it was going to happen, to be honest with you. And it eventually did. And when Broncos took over, there was a lot of rumblings at the start. Maybe slowing the style of football down. And I was one of them. I was like, wasn't totally convinced. But then the turnaround, the European run, yes, we made mistakes. We've got to say, you learn from mistakes in the league, obviously. But the European run, he's actually took a lesser squad. We take the injury to Morelos all the way to the cup final. You know, it's the style of the football. We weren't hanging on. It was the style. We were beating these teams. And I think that's a credit. And I'm looking at the PSV game. And yes, they've got quality players. But it goes to coaching, which is a massive part now. And I'm looking at Van Bronckhorst against Ruud van Nistelrooy. I think Gio's got his back pocket.
Well, I guess we'll find out, Mark. But certainly you can understand where, like, whether that's overconfidence or not, only time will tell. But you understand where the level of confidence would come from. Are PSV Eindhoven good, obviously? Are they any better than Dortmund or Leipzig or some of the others then? Well, probably not.
Probably not, no. I think if you're a Rangers fan, you must be confident. I kept saying about the McGregor thing. It was only 3 months ago that Rangers got to the final in the Europa League. So this stage of the competition, are they going to come up against a team that's much miles better than that? No, they're not, and they've probably got the majority of the squad, obviously. But Van Bronckhorst, like Steven Gerrard, it did look like Steven Gerrard had taken Rangers as far as he could go. And Van Bronckhorst was always going to be an interesting appointment. Some fans were for him, some against him when he came in. And remember, away at Livy's first game, we were trying to analyse how he was playing and was it any different. It's taken a wee bit of time to get there, and he still had his critics. But in the big moments, particularly in that Europa League run, he's made big tactical calls during the games, I think, that have impressed a lot of Rangers fans, and he got the results. So he's got a lot of good faith.
The thing I like about him is the fact that you're right, in the European games especially, Matt, he changed the system at the right times. He made the right substitutions. We debated on Tuesday night about, is that the right team? You've got to say he got that spot on as well, because they get through, and Tolak obviously a massive part of it. Arfield, who come in, played a big part in as well. And I thought Barisic down the left hand side played very well indeed. So yeah, so far I think the Rangers fans have really bought into the manager. He's added to his coaching staff today. That'll be a big help as well. I think we're very blessed here, because I think that there's not too many supporters who'll come on and criticise either the Celtic manager just now or the Rangers manager. The two of them are doing terrific jobs.
Alec, when you look at that news today, and like, I appreciate maybe Cherry Bowles is not a name that everyone knows loads about him, but generally speaking, Giovanni van Bronckhorst has added another very specific piece to his coaching team. Do you feel like he's, you know, that's a sign that you're constantly trying to evolve things and move it forward?
Much of it, I don't know too much of a guy, to be perfectly honest. I haven't even checked the internet or whatever, but I've got to trust the manager, and I really do. I think that's a thing for a lot of Rangers fans. We really trust him. I think that's a really good thing for us, positive.
Mark, because sometimes it is it's a piece to the jigsaw like that. Like, obviously fans and us are going to get much more excited about is that your phone?
No, I hope not.
Get much more excited about a big signing or whatever, a star striker that's going to play it. But if you're a manager, sometimes these are the pieces you add. You look at Celtic did it in the summer, Harry Kewell. Yep. I mean, Celtic won the league last year. Celtic were in a good place, but still Ange Postecoglou just saw something that he wanted to add. Again, Rangers, they had obviously a coaching overhaul, but Roy Mackay was in there and Dave Voss. But again, Giovanni van Bronckhorst has spotted just a little gap.
Yeah, and it's important for a manager to have the proper backing on the touchline, and guys who sit in the stand that the fans often don't see. The manager, quite a lot of the time, confines in him, and they'll compare and contrast ideas. And you're right, Gordon, when you see the coaching staff that van Bronckhorst had, he didn't quite see a hole in it. For him to bring this guy in from the City group, he must trust him implicitly, because he obviously knows that there's improvements to be done. Daz made a good point earlier on about when you're manager, you don't just stand still, you want to keep learning. And I think the time that he spent with this guy, his time in City for 6 months, he was obviously impressed with him, and he saw a gap to bring him in. So you've got to think it's a positive. You know, I don't think he's going to be somebody that upsets anything that Rangers have done. You've got to see it as a positive, and you've got to think that Rangers probably could only get better with this guy in and around the squad.
When you look back at the last couple of European games, Alec, someone on last night's show, maybe, or the night before, was using the phrase Jekyll and Hyde and talking about disappointing first leg, much better second. How do you feel about the PSV tie? Now, I know you've said you think the manager's got the upper hand, but I assume it takes a much improved performance, particularly from that first leg.
You're playing a Champions League team, let's be honest. So it's a step up. It's a massive step up. We know that, and we've really got to raise our game. You're playing a Champions League team. They'll be thinking the same as us. That's why I think it's pivotal we get at least a draw at home. I know it's sounding negative, but if you've still got 90 minutes, it's a totally different game if you've got to chase that game. So I think it's pivotal. We've got to leave Ibrox be something. We don't want to be bringing down at least 1-1 or whatever. So I know it's a big task. It's a massive game.
Yeah, Ibrox is a place in the European next. They've had to put in some big performances lately, Gordon. Another one on Tuesday night, you know, getting into that game 2-0 down, had to turn that round successfully. I sort of disagree. I don't think a draw. I think they've got to try and make the home advantage count, because they certainly play very well in the European nights at Ibrox. I don't know if it's atmosphere, just everything about it, just a European night at Ibrox for them. It's the same with Celtic as well. Everybody talks about these European nights at Celtic Park and Ibrox, but I think the first game at home, I think they've got to use that to their advantage, because they're away for them. They've left themselves some, you know, uphill tasks in Europe coming back to Ibrox, and they've always achieved it. But this time, the first legs at Ibrox, I think they've got to go with a positive result.
Look, Mark, you're always going to need to face a certain level of opposition at this point, Mark. Now, Alec calls them a Champions League team. To be fair, I don't think they've been in the Champions League group stages since the 18-19 season. Look, they're a massive name in European football, and for a qualifier, yeah, it's tough, but surely Rangers will just at least try. It doesn't work out this way all the time, but at least try to take confidence from similar or better teams that they've beaten. That's all you can do, isn't it?
Go back to Porto and teams like that that Rangers played against, you know, even their run last year. You look at the last 2-3 years with Rangers, they've come up against teams of equal stature. Like PSV are like one of the elite Dutch teams. They've got a great history and a great name. Should that make Rangers fearful? No, probably not. But obviously they should respect it. They've got a coach that's well known in terms of he was a fantastic player. Is he an established, you know, elite coach? Remains to be seen. So I think Rangers can go into this optimistic. The big thing, I agree with Daz, the first leg being at Ibrox, I think the majority of Rangers fans would obviously prefer that second leg to be there.
Yeah, of course. Alec, it was nice to speak to you. Will you stay in touch in the coming weeks?
Good to see you, Gordon.
Yes, Alec.
My dad played in the game in 1978 when they beat them 3-2.
I told you that was a famous football. I played with your father. What a player he was, let me tell you. And a great character.
Thanks very much.
Nah, brilliant, Alec. It was nice to speak to you. Hopefully we'll speak soon.
Cheers, Alec.
Cheers then. Bye.
Good man. That was Alec.
Lovely, yeah. Absolutely.
I recognise.
Obviously I knew the name. I just assumed that there was two people with.
We could have left the room. Me and Gordon there.
Yeah,
and just
played,
left
with, played with Manchester United and came to Rangers. Terrific fullback. Terrific guy. Brilliant character.
You don't remember him, do you?
Yes,
nah,
I do.
Alec, for sure. You're so bad at remembering.
That was his nickname, Soldier. Don't ask me why.
01419511025 at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Get your calls in. Right, what about the teaser? We're looking. It's a great question. This, I really like it. Mm. The last five Scotsmen for Rangers and the last five Scotsmen for Celtic to score in the European group stages. You've got Stephen Welsh, Anthony Ralston, Callum McGregor. You've got Kenny Miller.
Right, I'm getting down the Scottish route. Scott Wright.
Please do.
Scott Wright.
There is no other route on this question.
Scott Wright?
Yeah.
Wait, was Richard Foster one?
No.
Wayne McCulloch.
Yes.
Oh, brilliant.
Unaria away in 2009. We'll get the rest next. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. You've got Wilson and DL, Mark and Gordon for company. Still a bit of time, I think. You could squeeze some calls in if you fancy it. 0141 951 1025. We're on a good teaser tonight. I really do like it. It's the last five Scotsmen to score in the European group stages for Celtic and the last five to do so for Rangers. Gets you thinking, because it's quite a spread considering it's only the last five. For instance, Lee McCulloch's won for Rangers, and that goes back to 2009. You've got Kenny Miller and Scott Wright. That was Leon away last year, wasn't it? Stephen Welsh, Real Betis at home. Anthony Ralston, Real Betis away. And Callum McGregor, Lille at home. So two from each remaining.
Right, I'm going to keep on the Scottish route, obviously.
Can you stop saying that? Right. It's only Scotsmen that are in there.
But my full thought process is, if you're Scottish, I'm shouting your name out. David Turnbull.
Yes.
Yes.
Well done.
Was it a penalty? Doesn't really matter. Betis at home, 2021.
Alan Hutton.
I think it might have been. No.
For Rangers, no.
Naismith.
Oh. Stephen Naismith.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just the way he was looking there.
Bursaspor at home in 2010.
What have we got to
If get? I had one remaining pound in my pocket to cash for kids, I would 100% have put it on these two, being the one from each team that you would have been stuck with.
Kieran Tierney.
No. Are you thinking that City. Man City game?
Is that an own goal?
Steve McManus.
Hopeless. Miles off it now.
Are we is it time for clues? No. We've got a bit of time. I was going to say we've gone back a bit.
I wouldn't say so.
It's a sub. Somebody's come on as a sub.
Mikey Johnson.
Does that make any difference?
Because it is. Because appearance.
For the rest
they've scored
of,
a goal.
For the rest of these answers, can you remember if they were a sub or not? No, it doesn't matter.
I would say so.
Let's get early thoughts. What are we? Quarter to eight on a Thursday night. So let's quick early thoughts on the weekend.
A lot of good games. I think the most interesting one for me, Gordon, will be at Pittodrie. New manager bounce, Jim Goodwin getting his result up there last week against St Mirren, down to 10 men. Then you talk about St Mirren. They need a result. They've had a poor Premier Sports Cup. They've not started the league particularly well. Yes, they get clapped off the pitch against Motherwell, but didn't get any points sitting at the bottom of the league. Rangers at home to St Johnstone. You'd imagine Rangers to win that, pick up the 3 points there. Look forward to Kilmarnock with Derek McInnes entertaining Celtic on the Sunday. And I think a very good game on the Sunday is at Tynecastle, Hearts and Dundee United. I think that'll be a cracker.
Mm. I mean, obviously, for the focus that's been going on, the debate, Mark, about, you know, scheduling. So if Celtic get Celtic are in the group stages, sorry, if Rangers don't, it would be Saturday, Sunday. Does that make a difference? So this week, for instance, Rangers have the chance to go first, and it's at home to St Johnstone.
It's always favourable.
It's hard not to be disrespectful, so I hope we get the right tone. It's extremely difficult now in those types of fixtures, isn't it, to see anything other than...
Yeah, and it's not being disrespectful, I don't think, because I'm sure everybody at St Johnstone hopes that they can put up a good show and hopes that they can get something for the game. But look, the odds obviously are stacked heavily against them. It's a chance for Rangers to go top of the table, albeit only for 24 hours. And Celtic going to kill it, look, you never know what can happen. A team that comes up, we always chat about the surface. I mean, Celtic used to like going to Rugby Park. It was a big wide pitch. In the last, bit different now.
I mean, look, the Stevie Clark team was very different from the one that went down, obviously. But in the last few years before the relegation, it certainly did prove to be a tough place to go at times for both of Glasgow's big two, didn't it?
Yeah, I think it's one of those places, Gordon, when you turn up, you've got to be right on the ball for it. If you start slack and you're off the pace of the game and it's not what you're used to, then, you know, Kilmarnock will be very well organised under Derek. Of course they will. They went to Ibrox last week and I think frustrated Rangers and long periods of the game. So they'll have a game plan. They'll make it hard. But I just think the start of the season, watching even Celtic last week when Ross County scored the 83% possession, Gordon's incredible. Whether that be at Celtic Park or away from home. And I think it'll be the same on Sunday for Celtic. I just think they've got too much quality.
Not ignite the AstroTurf debate when it's so warm outside.
Never ignite AstroTurf. Very, very dangerous.
When it's so warm outside, like, it is going to be dry. It's going to be, no, definitely not. It's going to be sticky. So what you're mentioning, the Ross County game, 83% possession, Celtic were zipping the ball about on a good surface. It's hard to do it. Now, Rangers had to deal with it a couple of weeks ago at Livy, and it is difficult. So,
and then, if Gordon's saying, and I think most people would agree, Kelly did manage to frustrate Rangers to a point at Ibrox. Mm-hmm. So I assume it's easier to frustrate
at home
there.
Yeah, you would think so. So it's not going to be easy for Celtic going down there. Ange Postecoglou is all about playing quickly, getting the ball back into play. But I think Sunday could be a real challenge for them in terms of how quickly they can move that ball.
Do you fancy an upset then?
No. It's going to be difficult.
What, you just try to kill time there at the end of the show? I'll make this sound interesting. It'll be very difficult.
Do you know, think so? Here's a question. Did you ever play on the Astro that they play on now?
Of course not.
No.
No, we were all grass pitches.
Astro with the sand.
Red ash.
So it is difficult.
I only played in Astro when we went away in the pre-season games abroad or something.
That was the old stuff with the concrete block with the sand on top.
Yeah, terrible. But the modern day one, but you're right, if they don't water it,
Why would you water it?
It does become difficult, but I still think that Celtic will have too much in their locker, too much quality. I think look at the Rangers game, I think St Johnstone will look at Kilmarnock and go with the exact same tactics. So Rangers,
is that going to develop a theme this season?
100%.
Every 5 o'clock from now until the end of the season, if a team plays at home, are we going to get calls from Celtic and Rangers fans bemoaning other teams behind the ball and slowing things down?
I think the top three will have a go at each other. For instance, I think Hearts would be brave enough to come. Don't get me wrong, I don't think they would play three up top and leave them up there, but they would have a game plan to go with Barry McKay's of this world and Boyce getting forward and, you know, Shanklin and people like that. So I think they'd be positive. But the rest of the teams, and Gordon, and I'm saying this, you cannot blame them. because it is difficult going to Celtic Park and Ibrox and hoping to go toe-to-toe with players, you know, are far, far superior and try and get a result.
How will the Dundee United players be feeling right now, Mark? Presumably finishing off the warm-up, maybe getting ready to get into the tunnel. How are you feeling that famous night against Maipa?
Try and forget about that, Gordon. I can't remember, it was that long ago. Look, the European games is something special when you're... It's just a different feel about it when you finish the warm up and all the protocols, you know, different rules up in the dressing room wall about how you line up and things. Great experience for these players.
How beneficial do you think it will be? Because look, there are various reasons our clubs often flop in Europe right at these stages, and quite often you see it. Look, it's forget the level of ability, but it's different. You've got guys that are just not used to playing, even really playing teams from different countries and different styles, and the full thing's a bit overawed. But Stephen Fletcher, Charlie Mulgrew, Tony Watt,
it's got to help.
Then add in some of the sort of fearless.
Yeah, it definitely Dylan has got Levitt. To help. I mean, I joked last week about when we were there, Dundee United, fresh faced team. Harley Ennis had played in Europe, and we just went and played the same way as we did in the Scottish game. Charlie Mulgrew and Stephen Fletcher, hugely experienced and international players, they know how to handle these sorts of occasions, and they're going to need to call on all their experience to help United tonight.
Well, whatever happens, we will look back on it all tomorrow night. Really looking forward to that. Let's try and finish the teaser though before we go. We're looking for the last five Rangers and last five Celtic Scotsmen to score in European group stage competition. You've got Scott Wright, Kenny Miller, Stephen Naismith and Lee McCulloch. You've got Stephen Welsh, David Turnbull, Anthony Ralston and Callum McGregor. Let me see who's taking part on Twitter, sending me messages.
Hope Adam's not on there.
Andy Newport's thrown a couple of names in. He's got the one that you're looking for.
We're looking for two.
We're looking for two, yeah.
He's got the Rangers one, sorry, that you're looking for. Now, we did say no Scott Arfield. I must admit, I'm not sure if that's because he's actually Canadian when we talk about football or whether he just wouldn't be on the list anyway, but he probably did. Yeah, he would be. It's just the whole Canadian thing. We like to try and keep it football nationalities. So the one from each, anything at all? Right.
It's Rangers and Celtic one, and that's what you said, Rangers Celtic.
Right, I'm not even acknowledging that. What if
Scots.
The Rangers one had recently scored a goal in Europe that he says is now his favourite goal
Middle,
in Europe.
Glenn Middleton. That's how
you were shocked at that. Right.
Spartak away, 2018.
Yeah. Hey, come on, it's
would
sharp.
Never have got that.
Nah, I think was that well, obviously the clue was too easy, wasn't it?
Right, the Celtic one then.
Right. What did he say?
Era.
Recently. Tough. Really tough. It is Glenn Middleton-esque. It's as difficult.
Scottish
young lad.
Yes.
Don't know.
Possession.
What if he now plays Center for another
Liverpool.
Scottish team?
No,
Liverpool.
I'm just
Charlie Mulgrew.
No.
Oh.
Much more recently than that.
Plays for another Scottish team.
Yes.
Scales.
Oh, yes.
He's Irish. Oh, yes. This show's ending just in time.
Oh. Give us another clue. What teams are you playing with?
Hey, right, this is the one that will absolutely do. Andy's thrown another name in, Adam Montgomery. That's wrong.
Right.
This is the one that seals it, right?
Okay. Left,
a race between
back.
You
it's
two.
A left
no.
back.
Ready?
Yeah.
He's got a brother who's also played for Celtic.
Forrest.
Wow, you're hopeless.
No,
quick.
he's got a brother.
Henderson! Yes!
Who? Ewan Henderson.
Oh, I never got that.
One of those Betis goals at home in 2021. Thank you, Mark and Gordon. We are back tomorrow with Kenny Miller and Hugh Keevans. We'll look back on Dundee United. We'll look forward to the weekend. And in the meantime, stay right there. Callum Gallagher is up next.